broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always, protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, and to do so using the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, and one of the peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. We also reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, with me, and we talked about complete corruption, plain and simple. The FBI indeed interfered into the 2020 election cycle to help Joe Biden. That we know, says Ted Cruz. And if that's the case, my fellow Americans, then we know that there has been literal vote fraud, election fraud. Okay? The FBI is criminal. And if that's the case, why are they just begging us for campaign funds? Hey, please elect me. You know, the vote's coming up in a couple of days. We gotta get, if you get us in power, we'll go ahead and get to the bottom of this and create a camp. No, you won't. You lie, lie, lie. If there's criminal activity, we don't have time to wait for an election cycle, especially, listen, when the criminal activity has to do with the very election cycles we're talking about, right? Hey, we got defrauded out of the last election, so elect me this next time. Of course, we haven't spent any time doing anything to get rid of the fraud in the elections. How do you expect that to work there, Ted? So no offense, but I don't really have any respect for these politicians that literally just beg for money, 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 beg to be elected, and every time they turn out to be a disgrace. The FBI released an almost completely redacted affidavit that blocks the explanation as to why the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Ladies and gentlemen, again, criminal activity by the FBI. You can go ahead and, you know what, show probable cause if you want to. But Donald Trump has the right to face his accusers. He has the right to due process of law. And part of the due process of law is they need to show, hey, what goods do they have on the Donald? Not this vague, we think there might be, well, there's this, that, and not these broad entrapment claims and all this other stuff. Okay, they're criminal. In fact, Mark Zuckerberg joined Joe Rogan's podcast and explained how algorithmically Facebook just simply suppressed the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden stories. Okay? That's criminal. There was information released by the New York Post right before the elections, but it got shut down by the FBI in bed with Mark Zuckerberg. Then Mark Zuckerberg puts $400 million into campaigns. Then they suppress the Joe story, but promote the Clinton-backed dossier on the Donald. It's flat-out election fraud, folks. Anyway, U.S. District Judge Terry Dowdy said that Anthony Fauci and the White House press secretary must turn over all emails pertaining to the government media collusion issue. The story is at thenewamerican.com if you want to check it out. Flash poll, should citizenship be required to vote? Election integrity alert. I brought that up to Dr. Scott Bradley, and he just said, are you seriously discussing this? And I said, yes, because Joe Biden at the administration is literally suing the state of Arizona over this very issue. Arizona says illegals can't vote. Your federal government, backed by, in my opinion, illegitimately elected Joe Biden, wants to sue and say, yes, illegals should be able to vote. Folks, is Biden trying to start a civil war? Asks Ben Armstrong in The New American. 1 million migrants have been entered into the United States during Biden's tenure alone. That's 1 million people. How many illegal voters do we have? They told us there was about 12 million illegals in the country, but now evidence shows it's more like 25, 30 million. How many of those voted, huh? Fox Television Networks, believe it or not, has a 95% sell rate on their Super Bowl commercials. They're almost sold out. Some of the commercials are going over $7 million for a 30-second spot. The average is $6.5 million for a 30-second commercial. It is insane. We finished with Dr. Bradley by asking this question. Have you read the new legislation piece called H.R. 8404? It's called Respect for Marriage Act. Really, what it should be called is the Pedophile Perversion of Marriage Act. But there you have it. That's what we believe in America. No wonder we are in crisis mode in the country as we turn our back on God Almighty and His laws. Second hour, we talked about a solid majority of small business owners say they are not currently hiring because they cannot afford the cost. 63%. They just can't afford it, folks. Why, you may ask? I'll tell you the answer. Because out-of-control government taxation, inflation, regulation, and manipulation of all things free market is the problem. We also then had our guest on, Mr. Jason Isaac. He's director of a group called Life Powered, a national initiative of Texas public policy, and their goal is to raise America's energy IQ, lifepower.org. And Jason actually did a good job. Jason was also a Texas state rep for years, serving on energy committees and more. We talked about companies buying carbon offsets. They're not cutting emissions. They're lying, and their big money is making it to where they don't have to be ratcheted down like the rest of us. Amazon shuts down solar roofs due to fires. California power grid at record level breaking points. Climate crisis causes supposedly China to ration energy. Vehicle miles travel tax is a bad idea. Let's all call for a halt to the climate cult, shall we? Anyway, we talked a lot about all that. We then talked about the judge allows Elon Musk to include whistleblower claims against Twitter, which I think is good news because former Disney CEO Bob Iger, revealed that Disney ultimately decided not to buy Twitter because of the same reason, fake accounts everywhere. And no one can figure out the number of Twitter users that are not even real. Democrats are worrying as Stacey Abrams fails. She's been trailing the Republican rival. Governor Brian Kemp, Democrats were celebrating her. They say she's the great strategist to re-engineer the state's Democratic shift, but she's failing and now they're big time worried. Now don't misunderstand me. I don't support Governor Brian Kemp. The guy's a nutcase too, guilty of election fraud. So which one's worse? About impossible to tell. A long shot attempt would bar Trump in 2024 as an insurrectionist, writes Lou Walcott. And anyway, there's a lot of good stuff we covered yesterday on the broadcast. It's available on demand at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, would you please? Donate liberally if they have the heart to help as well. We could use every penny we can get to grow our presence in the media. Without further ado, Chris Carlson's with me for the next 2 hours. Chris, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We start with a biblical reference on purpose, ladies and gentlemen, because that's where we find ourselves in the great Republic. As we turn our back on God, we lose even the very knowledge of Him, much less of principles that can turn us to Him. Chris?
Yes, sir. And those aren't my words, Sam, or your words. Those are the words of God through His prophet Hosea. If you look in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, you will read, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, saith the Lord." And that's where we are today, Sam. And this is an 85% to 80% Christian nation, according to surveys. And we're not acting like it, are we?
I would say far from, right now. Ladies and gentlemen. What happens is we forget to turn to God. We forget where our blessings come from. And then we end up in this huge pride cycle that we must discuss in detail, because the pride cycle highlights our situation It highlights where we came from, and it highlights where we're going as history sadly repeats itself. Chris?
Yeah, so you mentioned the pride cycle, and nations go through that pride cycle. Sometimes they go through them quickly, sometimes slowly. I think we've been going through that cycle over a period of about the last 230 years. So that's a pretty slow process compared to some other nations. It starts with righteousness, Sam. And through righteousness, God can bless that nation with prosperity and peace and freedom and happiness. But once we become prosperous, we begin to develop pride and a sense of security on material things. And as we become more and more prideful, we become more and more sinful. And as we become more and more sinful, the Lord has to withdraw his spirit from our land. And we go then through the cycle of pain, humility, and then repentance. And I think we're still at the very beginning of the pain, humility, and repentance. Obviously, we're not doing a whole lot of repentance, so we're at the pain and hopefully someday humility point. So we're definitely in the pride and sin phase of that pride cycle. But the Lord in his mercy, Sam, and in his love for his children, will allow them to experience the consequences of those sinful actions. In his mercy, I say. So, you know, the punishments that will ultimately follow our sinful natures and our sinful decisions and actions will be an act of mercy on the part of God. And as
let's put things in perspective a little bit for people on the pride cycle so people understand a little bit more what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. You know, in the founding of our nation, there was really a righteousness phase. I'm not telling you that everybody was perfect. I'm just telling you that for the most part, they came to America for religious freedom. The purpose to create the country in the first place was to jettison the abuses of a tyrannical King George and embrace the principles of freedom. They created a government that looked to God, not government. And so they were pretty much in the righteousness phase. That doesn't mean we have to be a perfect people. It means we need to look to God for guidance. We need to understand that a nation can't rise without his aid. We need to look to God, not government, for not only what we need to do personally, in other words, self-governance, but we need to look towards God for God, family, and country relationships. So they were in the righteousness phase. And as they were in that phase, blessings is what God pours out on the righteous. Therefore, prosperity followed that reality check. We are the greatest country on the face of the earth with the greatest economic engine ever known to man, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? Over the last 50, 80, 100 years, we've kind of started to get into the pride cycle. We've turned away from God's money, constitutional currency, gold and silver. We have man-made money now. This pride cycle has had us literally believe that, you know what? We know more than God does. So we start to sin as we get proud, as we really enjoy the blessings and prosperity. We think it's us. We forget our God. We fail to remember the source of the blessings and the prosperity we've experienced. So we get into this pride cycle, which means we don't look to God. We look to man. We look to each other. We worship the idols or the makings of our hands, if you will. And so then as pride happens, sin follows. Yeah. We're in that sin phase. We're starting to feel the pain phase, though, as God starts to pour out his wrath on the people, promoting gay and lesbian agendas. Sodom and Gomorrah comes to mind, literally pitting race against race, male and female against each other. You know, all these different fault lines. We start to turn away from God, embrace sin, and the pain follows. We're not at all in the humility or the repentance phase of this that I can see. We're in the sin slash pain part. More the sin part than the pain, because it can get a whole lot worse. And if we don't change our whatever you want to call it, reality check, our point of reference, our focus, then we're going to have more pain. Now God promises us in the Bible that if we turn to him and repent, he will heal our land and protect us. Sounds like we could short circuit it if we were wise and avoid a lot of the pain. We could skip the sin and pain more and jump to the humility and the repentance phase. And if we would, God would bless us and would be back to the cycle of working on our righteousness. So then we'd have blessings and prosperity. But I don't see us doing that. For some reason, we have to hit rock bottom always first in the pride cycle. It's sad but true. The pride cycle is not something that that's cast in stone. We the people could, with our agency as a people, turn to God and change this right now and skip a lot of the most troubling portions of the cycle. That's why the cycle can happen fast or slow. Each element in the cycle can last a long time, be very deep or shallow in its deliverance, if you will. So I want to point out the agency is at the core of this. And we have options, ladies and gentlemen. We are not forced for the pain phase. But you know what? We can choose what we want, but we cannot choose the consequences. That's why the cycle happens. If we're righteous, the consequence of righteousness is blessings. The consequence of blessings and repentance and righteousness, hey, is prosperity. Okay, but when you sin, the consequences of that, sin is pain. Okay, so we can choose what we want, but we cannot choose the consequences of our actions. That is delivered by God's eternal law and God Almighty, the author of our liberty. Anyway, I don't mean to go on about this forever, but I think it's the key to the understanding, Chris, that we must have before the rest of the discussion makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you've done a very good job. And I would just add one more thing. It's not so much that God has turned his back on us. It's more that we've turned our backs on him. And
Roger that.
He cannot dwell in unholy temples or in unholy places. So he must, by necessity, withdraw his spirit from our nation. And we're experiencing the consequence. Because I remember as a kid feeling the spirit of God more strongly in our nation. And it has been withdrawn for not entirely, obviously. Otherwise, we would be
in. And again, if you understand the pride cycle, there's an easy way to get it back. It starts with humility to admit we're wrong and that we're on the wrong road. And it then starts with repentance, ladies and gentlemen. Right? And then turning to righteousness,
exactly.
Meaning keeping his commandments is the key. Turning from sin. But you know what? It's a lot in the leaders that we pick as well, because they mirror who we are as a people primarily, Chris.
Yep. So we're going to, I know we beat up on Trump a lot. I do at least. And when, like you said, Sam, when he's right, I give him credit. You know, it's nothing personally. I have nothing personal against anybody in this world. But we need to point out inconsistencies with Christian doctrine when people at the head of our government implement policies that are antithetical to that culture and to our religious foundation that is the cause of our blessings. So we need to point out, a spade when we see a spade, as it were. And so there's an article by Ollie Williams. This can be found on dissidentreview.substack.com, where Ollie basically goes through, and Bill Skousen has published this in his World Affairs Brief for this last Friday. He talks about a lot of the inconsistencies with what Donald Trump and his supporters expected from him and what he actually did. And we're going to go through that and again.
So what we're talking about is a review of the Trump presidency, ladies and gentlemen. What is the real legacy of Donald Trump? You got to ask some questions. Is America a better country than it was in 2016? Is it more conservative? Less woke? And then I ask a couple of additional questions. More constitutional? More free? I don't think so. Here's the deets, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so he just goes through a long list. For example, he appointed Jerron Smith, who prior to joining the White House had helped organize the Hoodies on the Hill protest about the death of Trayvon Martin. So, and a lot of times conservatives will do this, Sam, and it bugs me. They will try to make common ground with people on the left, thinking that somehow they're going to receive concessions from the left, and it never works. We make concessions to them, but it never goes the other way. He appointed a man by the name of Omarosa, and I'm sure my kids probably know that. He's some famous person who went on to make the absurd claim that Al Sharpton, that President Donald Trump wanted to start a race war. He appointed H.R. McMaster, who told the National Security Council that the term radical Islamic terrorism was not helpful because Islamic terrorists are un-Islamic. And he goes on to talk about Mark Milley, who defended the study of critical race theory in the military. And we've talked about a lot of people that he's appointed over the years. And the fact that they turn out to be unloyal to him and not to support, you know, the movement back to conservative, constitutionally based government. You know, why would you appoint a Mark Milley who promotes someone? He says some really terrible things about the white race, and he himself is white. Why would you appoint somebody who's going to turn around and promote the radical critical race theory in the military, you know, and turn, you know, one group of soldiers against another? We're supposed to be united, not divided.
And there's only really two reasons that you would do that. One is ignorance and you don't know better, or two, it's intentional, right?
I mean, obviously, it's obvious that Mark Milley is not with us, is not on our cause. And a lot of people say, well, he's got bad advice. He's getting bad advice.
Well, in my opinion, if you're doing this ignorantly and it's not an intentional, but you get bad advice, look, we need good, honest, wise men and women, servants of the Republic, if you will. And if you might be a good or even an honest person, which I debate that about Donald Trump, but even if you go there, you can say, well, if he did all this without knowing because of bad advice from surrounding himself with the wrong people, he's certainly not wise enough to be in office then. I'll tell you that right now. No. So good, honest, and wise is the measure or the yardstick that we need to use when we analyze who surrounded Donald, Chris.
Yeah, very good point. You need to be, you not only need to be good and honest, but you need to be wise. And those three things do not always exist in the same person. You got to have all three, otherwise all bets are off. So the author, Ollie Williams, goes on to say, Trump was the only Republican candidate in 2016 who was willing to condemn the disastrous Iraq war. Nevertheless, he picked John Bolton, one of the leading advocates of that war, as his national security advisor. He should have known. And then in a Wall Street Journal interview, they asked Trump about this. Why would you pick somebody who you knew was antithetical to your agenda? And Trump said, and after the first month or so, you know, I asked him one question. I said, so do you think you did the right thing by going into Iraq? And apparently John Bolton said yes. And that's when I lost him. And that was early on. That's Trump saying that. That's when I lost him. No, Trump, you lost you yourself was the person who made that mistake, because you should have known. You should have had the discernment, because I knew that. You knew that, Sam. Joel Skousen knew that. You know, people in the know knew that. Why the person who should be the most on top of that situation, what seemed to be the only person in conservative circles who did not know that? So, yeah.
And the honesty question is at stake, too, because did he really know or did he not know? What did he really think and what did he really believe and what was his real understanding? I don't know that we know that either. So that's the honest kind of part that seems to be of a great concern. But there's more.
Okay. Oh, there's more. So Darren Beatty. Remember Darren Beatty from Revolver.News? We've quoted him many times. He's covered January 6th riots, Ray Epps extensively. Apparently, Sam, I didn't know this, but he was a speechwriter for Trump at one point, I think early in his presidency. So Darren Beatty, who worked as a speechwriter for Donald Trump, remains a Trump loyalist, said the ex-president. Okay, and Darren Beatty said this of the ex-president. What was remarkable was how little authority he actually had. So he was rubbing shoulders with Donald Trump early in his presidency.
All right, let's come back on that point, ladies and gentlemen. Darren Beatty talking about what little authority the president Donald Trump really had, and he saw it from the inside as a speechwriter for the Donald. We'll come back on that very point with Chris Carlson. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
The Department of Justice and former President Donald Trump have each submitted two candidates to serve as a special master to review documents seized from the former president's Mar-a-Lago home last month. According to court documents filed late Friday, Trump suggested former judge Raymond Diari as a candidate. This comes despite Diari having previously approved a warrant for the FBI to surveil former Trump campaign aide Carter Page during the Russia investigation. Trump also put forward Paul Huck Jr., a former partner at the corporate law firm Jones Day. Federal prosecutors have thrown out two retired judges, Thomas Griffith and Barbara Jones, who previously served as a special master in the Michael Cohen and Rudy Giuliani cases.
Republican Congressman Brian Babin from Texas on Newsmax fully supports Governor Greg Abbott's plan of busing illegal immigrants from the border to sanctuary cities. Representative Babin says Democrat leaders need to tell the president to secure our border now.
Instead of, bad-mouthing our governor down here, they need to get on the telephone and call their president and say, hey, Mr. President, start doing your job, because what's happening at our border, it's an invasion.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
President Joe Biden said he'll be going to the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II whenever it takes place.
You going to the Queen's funeral, sir?
Yes. I don't know what the details are yet, but I will be going.
The Queen died Thursday at the age of 96 after 70 years on the throne. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-568-2790. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-568-2790.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, with Chris Carlson, I'm talking about the Trump presidency. What is the real legacy of Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen? Is America a better country now than it was in 2016? Is it more conservative, less woke, more constitutional, more free? See, we don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. I'm convinced there's all kinds of problems. In Revolvers magazine, what's the guy's name? Darren Beatty? This guy literally was the Trump speech writer. It was on the inside, and he literally is doubling down, saying, look, it was surprising how little authority Donald really had. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear. According to the We the People, who have the ultimate authority under God Almighty, we delegated certain powers to the president. And if those powers are being circumvented by others, a shadow government, by advisors or whatever term, that's criminal, ladies and gentlemen. Now, was Donald constitutionally adept to understand that and insist on his authority, his responsibility, assist on carrying out his delegated commitments via sworn oath to protect us? Are the enemies, foreign and domestic, that were stealing authority from him? What about them? See, and this is why we need to look for good, honest, wise men to serve us, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk more about this Aaron guy and what he learned. Chris?
Darren Beatty, So the quote word for word. Yeah, Darren Beatty, he's a good guy. We've covered him in the past. What was remarkable was how little authority he actually had. He is not the author of the things that his own administration was doing. and he had really little say in it. And frankly, I think he didn't have very much interest in having a say in it. And I would agree with that. I don't think he was that much interested in the course of the country, Sam. I think he thought that, based on the power of his personality alone, that he could change things for the better in this country, not really understanding those constitutional principles upon which we should be based. And I don't think he really cared. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but I'm going to say it because that's the sense that I got. And I've got a whole long list of more stuff. If you want to say anything else?
I just want to say this. What we really created in America, ladies and gentlemen, is, quote, a personality cult surrounding the Donald. Now, this was done for Obama, too. Obama was the great Democrat savior. Donald Trump seems to be the great Republican savior, ladies and gentlemen. It dominates the Republican Party. The Republican Party is now downraising or downplaying a lot of the core issues that matter. Okay, we're looking for a single man to save us. We're turning to man, not God in America, folks. The Democrats are doing it. The Republicans are doing it. We believe that some, you know, hey, if Sam Bushman ran for office, and let's just say this, I've got a 25-plus year on the radio dealing with constitutional issues. Most people who listen understand that I'm not perfect, but I'm a pretty constitutional guy. Okay? But if I ran for office, I wouldn't stand a prayer. But if a rock star ran for office, if a diva ran for office that, I don't know, made her claim to fame in sexy music or whatever else, or acting or actress or whatever, a model or this or that, hey, should rocket to the top as a popularity queen, right? And so we've learned to worship people and saviors in hope that somehow by creating these personality cults surrounding people or these idol-esque ideas of individuals, we somehow think that's our savior, saving grace. It's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. Is Trump good, honest, or wise? I think he's none of the three. Is he better than others in some ways? Oh, sure. If you slide the scale so far left, so far communist, so far socialist that you can't see straight, then Donald comes out smelling like a rose. But in the real scheme of things, compared to the founding fathers, compared to the standard of our oaths of office, we're far from, my fellow Americans. Far from indeed, Chris.
And that paradigm has shifted, and people have not recognized that because it's happened so gradually. You know, over a 55-year period during my lifetime, I've witnessed it. But I'm a historian. I look at history, and here's another thing. When I was young, like I said earlier, Sam, I felt the spirit of God in this nation much stronger. And it's not something you can see with your eyes or hear with your ears or feel with your sense of touch. It's something that you just feel. It's a presence. It's just
It's like the wind or it's like faith. You can't see it, but you can see the results of. So if you look around you, you can see that, look, I can't think of a real constitutional leader on the national stage that's worthy of my vote. You say, well, wait a minute, Sam, what about Rick Santorum? Rick, you know, whatever. What about, you know, Ron DeSantis? What about Donald Trump? What about, oh, man, what about Christine Noem in, you know, South Dakota? What about, you know, no, these people, again, they're the best we see. So you got to, you know, support the credit and the good that they do. You got to work with them to try to do better because it's all we've got. But when you compare that to the Thomas Jeffersons of the world, when you compare that to the George Washingtons of the world, when you compare that to the modern day Dr. Scott Bradleys of the world, Lowell Nelsons of the world, the Chris Carlsons, others, you begin to say these people are far from. But we haven't in our society given any credence towards those who really know, those who are truly good people, truly honest people, truly wise people. Okay, I can't think of a nationally known figure that I would vote for president that has a prayer on this earth of winning. I can think of a lot of good people, but none of them have even, I don't know about a household name, but none of them even have a name that you can, oh, I've heard of that guy even. Scott Bradley's a great guy. He speaks all over the country. But you know what? Most of the nation wouldn't know who he is at all. Okay, so this is what I mean. We don't have a single person that we could literally put in these positions. Even if the people would vote for them today, we don't even have them at all. See? So that's the problem, is we've been literally shut out of this because we believe it's a popularity contest, because we believe in these, quote, personality cult mentality ideas that puts people literally above God, ladies and gentlemen. And as long as we pursue that, we don't have a prayer. Okay, it's going to take a change. That's called repentance, to turn God back, or turn us back to God, I should say, where we are focused properly, that we have our priorities in order. That's what it's going to take. Any more on this, Chris?
No. I just would like to add one more thing. I used to be in the camp of those people that said, well, you got to vote for, you know, one of these two candidates, the Republican or the Democrat, because nobody else stands a chance. And you're right. With that attitude, nobody does. And I used to think that that sounded pretty logical. But I got to the point where I just could not live with my conscience in voting for somebody who was a lesser of two evils, which, as you know, Sam, is still evil. So, and a lot
what
of people,
I do is I here's what I do. I push for an alternative. I look for somebody that I can vote for. I encourage people to run. I do all within my power to find somebody to vote for. And if I can't find somebody that I believe is a good, honest, wise person to vote for, in other words, if I can't vote my conscience, because I believe voting for a wicked person is a sin, okay? So if I cannot find somebody to vote my conscience, I choose not to vote in that vote. And you would say, Sam, that's throwing your vote away. And my response is, no, it's not. I have every right to not put my vote towards unworthy candidates. Find a worthy candidate, and I'll vote. Until then, I have every right. And if nobody was voting because there was no worthy candidates, then people would start to focus on worthy candidates again. See, so that's the deal. I don't believe my vote is ever wasted if I use it as I think best. Remember, it's mine.
No.
And so I will vote for a person if we can find a wise, honest, good person. And I believe I can vote my conscience for a moral person. And if I can find that person, I vote for them. And if I can't, I simply don't vote in that race. That's all, Chris. That's what I do.
Yeah. And that's what I do. And there are over 1,000, there were in 2016 over 1,600 presidential candidates. You're telling me out of all those people, you can't find one that you feel comfortable voting for? I disagree. I found one, Don Blankenship, and I'm not embarrassed to say that.
And that's what I voted
for. So highly, yeah, I felt very comfortable because I did my research. And there are videos out there that you can listen to. And there will be men like Don Blankenship and Daryl Castle. And there will be information out there available to people.
Well, remember, Michael Perutka and Chuck Baldwin and others have ran on the Constitution Party ticket. Mm-hmm. I voted for both of those gentlemen as well.
Mm-hmm. Michael Badnarik was one who ran for president a few years back.
Yeah, he ran on the Libertarian Party.
Anyway, continue. Oh, was he in the Libertarian Party?
Michael Perutka was the one that ran on the Constitution Party ticket. Michael Badnarik was a Libertarian Party candidate.
Yeah, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the Libertarian Party, Sam, based on their stance on abortion and immigration. But anyway, I didn't mean, so let me just continue, because there's a lot of this. I don't know how detailed we want to go. A lot of people blame Jared
Let's
Kushner.
Do it.
Jared Kushner for everything bad about Trump. And I don't doubt that Jared Kushner himself, being a Zionist Jew, I don't doubt, that he had connections perhaps to the Rothschilds, perhaps to the Rockefellers. There's usually always a Zionist in the executive department who serves more or less as kind of a guiding hand to the president. For example, in the days of Woodrow Wilson, there was a man by the name of Mandel House who was the guiding hand. He was like the president's right-hand man. And I could go down the list, but I won't. But according to Ollie Williams, the author of this article, according to Peter Navarro, who worked as an advisor to President Trump, Jared Kushner repeatedly said the words, "That was the campaign. This is reality." So apparently that was supposed to convince Donald Trump that what you said in the campaign is not necessarily what you do when you become president. And Peter Navarro was there to witness that firsthand. And obviously,
now let's be clear,
Jared,
when we speak of Zionist Jews, because if you're not very careful, that gets taken out of context. Let me explain a Zionist Jew really fast to somebody. There's a big difference between the government, deep state, Jewish powerhouse in the world, that Jews who have allegiance to that become Zionist Jews. They have a 2,000-year grudge. They literally work with the deep state. They literally are tied into money, wealth, and power, and that's all exploiting the Jewish religion for evil purposes, okay? There is good, honest Jewish people who believe in the Jewish religion. They may be your neighbors. They may be even people who live in Israel, who truly believe in the biblical Israel and who truly believe in the Jewish religion in a genuine way. We're not talking about those people. Okay, there's a big difference in those people.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference in the intent and in the alignment that we want to clarify. So we're not just attacking people that are Jewish, whether that be an ethnic discussion or whether that be a religious affiliation discussion. We are separating the deep state Israeli government and those who are exploiting that religion for power and influence. That's the people we're pointing at. They're evil, and they're exploiting the Jewish religion. Christians, other religions have had their naysayers or their exploiters as well. Let's be very clear so we know who we're talking about, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. We want to be very careful, yeah, because we don't want to alienate anybody based on race or religion. I mean, you said it very well, Sam. So going on to some of the other things that Donald Trump represented as president that were inconsistent with his campaign rhetoric. Let's talk about the Platinum Plan. Okay, so the Platinum Plan, if you'll recall, was a $500 billion investment in Black-only communities, Black colleges, Black causes in general. So that on its face is racist, right? And by the way, I didn't say 500 million. I said 500 billion. That's half of $1 trillion. And Donald Trump was very proud of that initiative that he passed. I think it was an executive order. Yeah, it was. Which, again, is not in the Constitution. So on his face as well, it's unconstitutional. And not only did he do that, according to this article by Ollie Williams, Sam, he hired Ice Cube, the rapper Ice Cube, as a key policy consultant in his Platinum Plan initiative. And Ice Cube is the man behind these lyrics. And I hope I don't offend anybody because these are some pretty hard-hitting lyrics. As a rapper, he said, "Beat a police out of shape, and when I'm finished, bring the yellow tape. Punk police are afraid of me. When I'm finished, it's going to be a bloodbath." And that's Ice Cube. And this is the man that Donald Trump literally used taxpayer dollars to hire as a consultant in his $500 billion Platinum Initiative or executive order. So, I mean, I have a problem with that, Sam.
Amen to that. It's completely racist. It's off the rails, insane. It's money that the government has no authority to spend in the first place. It literally pits Americans against Americans. It's an evil plan. It was released under Donald Trump. If you don't believe us, here's the headline to go look up on your Google there. Trump releases Platinum Plan for Black voters. Bloomberg is where this article comes from. And so now we're talking about Black voters as opposed to, what, all the other kind of voters? White voters, Hispanic voters, Latino, whatever, Jewish, anybody. Why are we going to literally unveil a plan for Black voters? Is it because you need to get them on your side so you don't lose next time? I don't know, but a Platinum Plan for Black voters, according to Bloomberg? There you have it, to document Chris's point. Chris?
Yep. Let's talk about Law and Order. Again, from Ollie Williams' article about Donald Trump and, you know, how his decisions he made were inconsistent with not only his campaign rhetoric, but Christian society in general. During the prolonged riots of 2020, Senator Tom Cotton convincingly made the case for invoking the Insurrection Act, which allowed federal law enforcement to get involved with the riots that were occurring in major cities like Portland and Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. But instead of, you know, doing anything on his part, President Trump considered it safer politically to let the riots take place and blame them on Joe Biden, repeatedly labeling them Biden riots. So he would rather score political points than do anything about it, Sam. And You know, I'm not sure exactly how you use the federal government to the Riot Act is probably completely and totally unconstitutional. But he should have at least encouraged the governors of those states to quell those. And that's another point. That kind of segues into a point I really want to make, and maybe this is the time to talk about it. The most powerful power that the president possesses, and we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating, Sam, is the ability to articulate sound constitutional principles. Because I don't know if anybody in the world, maybe the recently deceased Queen of England could do this, and she's probably a good candidate as well. But who else in this world can convene a press conference and have more people listen to him or her than the President of the United States? And that was a golden opportunity that I believe that he squandered. Now, of course, people are going to say, well, he's not really familiar with the Constitution. He's not a constitutionalist. Okay, well, you're making my point completely. He should have used what is affectionately known as the bully pulpit, Sam, to articulate the principles that made this country great. And I feel that he squandered an opportunity for 4 years as our president to do that.
Well, because let's be clear, what are the lasting legacies of President Trump? Our debt has skyrocketed. Yeah, it's worse under under Biden. But Trump spent a ton of money. We literally had, for the first time in American history, we literally shut down the lives of healthy people by force. As close to martial law as you could get without the people literally rioting. We literally spent trillions of dollars on all kinds of projects. You can say, well, hey, he put judges in place that created some pro-life. I hope that's true. Time will tell. Now what states are doing is circumventing the overturn of Roe versus Wade, state by state, and they're doing it with literally chemical abortion pills. They're literally doing it with all kinds of... So I appreciate Donald Trump standing for pro-life to some degree. Yes, he put in some judges that got that done. That's a positive. I just hope it's as long-lasting and as life-saving as at first glance. Okay? But we need to realize that under Trump, we lost more liberty than under any other president in my lifetime. And it's a sustained loss of liberty. Because Donald thumbed his nose oftentimes and did whatever he wanted. Every president's done this in my lifetime, increasingly brazen about violating their oath of office. In other words, walking outside of their lane via executive order, via this, via that, to the point where, you know what, they're acting without authority. They're acting rogue. And Trump and Obama and Bush and now Biden, every one of them pushes the envelope further. We didn't do that in the beginnings of America, folks. And now we're doing that. And Trump is as guilty as the rest, if not more so. Okay? You got to understand that. Trump has blown up so many things we hold dear. And everywhere around us, we see them blowing up whole societal norms. Let's blow up the whole mortgage industry. Boom. Let's blow up healthcare with Obamacare. Oh, Donald promised to get out of it. We really didn't get out of anything. Boom, blow up healthcare via COVID. Let's blow up, you know, and we blow up all these industries to the point where now where are we? We're to the point where they're just going to simply start raising interest rates and blow up small business. Well, small business already took a massive hit under Donald. It completely got shut down. And you could say, well, no, Donald didn't do that. The governors did, Sam. Well, kind of. But it was a partnership. It was a build consensus at the general government level. And then act like the states are autonomous to do what they want. They just all simply were in sync. That consensus building, ladies and gentlemen, is not an accident. It happened on Donald's watch. Even if he pretends he was against it, it occurred under his watch, Chris.
Yeah, it did. And like I said, if he had been in possession of those constitutional and Christian principles he could have articulated, that would have been his greatest power. And that power isn't even enumerated in the Constitution, Sam. But he nonetheless has it, and he should have used it. I mean, let's look at abortion. And I know I'm repeating myself on this. All he would have had to have done, Sam, because right now in the state of Utah, guess what? You can still abort a child. all the well, Joe Biden could do it today. Obviously, he's not going to do it, but you know, Donald Trump would have, you know, been a better candidate for this. All he would have done is to have invoked the Fifth Amendment that reads, and I can quote it off the top of my head: "No person shall be denied life, liberty, or property without due process of law." He could have overthrown Roe versus Wade on the first day of his presidency. And for the next 4 years, those governors would have had to think about, that's kind of right. But not only the governors, but the people and the legislatures of the various states in the union would have considered that. And they would have said, yeah, I can't argue with that because it's the supreme law of the land. But he failed to do that. So anyway, it frustrates the heck out of me, because if I had a megaphone that big, there's a lot of things that I would do. I would expose the fraudulent nature of our monetary system. You know, think about how salutary that would be. Because most people I talk to give me blind stares when I try to explain the Federal Reserve System. Donald Trump could have hired experts to come in and had little fireside chats for, you know, an hour every Tuesday night.
Instead of having fast track vaccine jabs under Operation Warp Speed, creating a bioweapon under his watch, he could have had firesides educating people about the necessity to audit and then end the Fed. But of course, you know what happened.
Yeah, and he could have, you know, had, like I say, he could have brought in G. Edward Griffin and other people, Ron Paul, and just have expert after expert after expert, you know, to give it legitimacy, because, you know, the more experts you have articulating a principle, obviously, you know, the more legitimacy it conveys. But he didn't. And it's just so frustrating that a person, as a simple-minded day laborer like me, and you're not a day laborer, but, you know, you as well, could think of these things, yet the smartest man in the world can't figure it out. And yet he is still worshipped. And people still think that he's our political savior, and they just don't get it, Sam. And we're being destroyed for lack of knowledge, just as Hosea says in chapter 4, verse 6 of his prophecy, I guess. But if we could, before we end the hour, I'm not sure how much time we've got, let's talk a little bit about the wall. Okay, according to Ollie Williams, Donald Trump only completed 80 miles of new wall. Now, I thought it was 15. Some people will say 350, 365. I heard all
because there's debates on what the wall means. If you repair wall, does that count? If you make different kinds of walls, but it's not near the height, the breadth, the stoppage wall that we talked about, does it count? That's why there's so many different numbers.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, well, Congress never appropriated the money, right? Well, why don't you just come on, have a little fireside chat and say, okay, we're going to do this democratically. I know we're not.
I thought the Mexicans were going to pay for it, man. We don't need Congress to pay for anything.
And that's what Ollie Williams says in this article. Said you could have taxed remittances back to Mexico and paid for it, which probably would have worked. You consider how much money flows back into Mexico. Not that I have a problem with that, but if you tax,
you got to do is put tariffs on the border with Mexico, and you got to simply say we're going to increase tariffs 7%, 5%, whatever it's going to take over the next 4 years to build the wall. We're going to have the money, and we got this added to the tariff, and it's going to go straight to the wall fund. Could have been done easily, but of course we didn't do that.
A million ways.
And of course, the other thing we didn't do is we didn't even find out about Barack Obama's birth certificate. Was it a forgery? Was it a fraud? We never even found out the answers to that either. We didn't abolish any government agencies, I might add, as well. Why didn't we abolish even a single unconstitutional government agency? There's more of those agencies than you can shake a stick at. We didn't abolish a single one under the Donald. Nope. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I know you Donald lovers are going to hate us. You Donald haters, I don't know if you're going to love us or what. Don't care. The truth shall set us free. I am Sam Bushman. I'm with Chris Carlson. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love. Tell your neighbor. God save the Republic of the United States of America.